and then hit the ground and started spinning round and round. Like, we now have a Guinness sprinkler. It's another time of Hugh talking around the house. I didn't do one last week because I was on a week's annual leave, and I decided that I was not just taking a week's annual leave from the day job, I was taking a week's annual leave from telling jokes and doing podcasts and filming things for the internet. But what I did end up doing was, I'll take a week off, and then I ended up gigging on the Friday night up in Coleraine. Yep, I was back in Coleraine. I was almost going to record it on the way to Coleraine and thought, Jesus Christ, you can't make it the Coleraine show. Stopped in Tobermore, by the way. I spent a tenner in Tobermore. And then a few days later, I read that Tobermore is a Protestant village for Protestant people, according to the DUP. So just so your DUP councillor knows, I mean, I'm sure she listens. I'm sure she's a subscriber. Just so she knows, some Protestant in the Protestant village would have got my £5 note back in their change already by now. So there's some Protestant running about with Fenian money in their purse. So I was in Coleraine, and I was trying new material for this new show that I'm doing. The World on a String, Mac Theatre, 28th and 29th of April. And is this thing still recording? Yes, it is. I've got this hooked up to the MacBook. I normally just hook these mics up to the phone for this, the audio part of this. But then someone was saying to me, oh, but you've got like a recording studio built into your MacBook. I have no idea what I'm doing with it. But apparently this is the way to go, do it this way instead of using the phone because this is better. I don't fucking know. I mean, I'm sure anyone that listens to this on a regular basis will know I have no idea what I'm doing. But I did. I went to Korea and tried out new jokes and stuff. And it went good. It went well. I enjoyed it. Audience seemed to enjoy it, which is always good. And then on Monday, so that was Friday, right? So Friday was like, right, okay. Because I wanted a week where I didn't have to go anywhere or be anywhere or do anything. And then it was like Friday night. And like, honestly, I can't, you know, thank you very much to Peter E. Davidson, who's another comic who's very, 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 very good. He runs that gig. I asked him, did he have like 10 minutes anywhere for me? He went, sure, come on up and headline this one. And it's good that, you know, cause he trusts me. Cause I said to him, it's all new material. It's half an hour of stuff I've never done in front of an audience before. And he was quite happy to trust me to come up and headline his night with 30 minutes of what could have been pure dung. But it went well. And then on the Monday night, so finished my week's annual leave. Didn't sleep on Sunday night. I don't know why. Like, genuinely, I had about 2 hours sleep on Sunday night. And I know this because my new Apple Watch told me so. It tracks my sleep. Apparently, I had 2 hours of core sleep and about 5 minutes of REM sleep. I don't know what REM sleep is. I don't know what core sleep is, but I got basically, fucking long and short, I got 2 hours sleep on the Sunday night. So 2 hours sleep, and I was back up into work. It was a long, old day in work. And then straight out of work, straight up the road to a gig I have not done for 8 years. I did Monday night comedy at the Pavilion on the Armour Road, which is a great wee gig. It's an open mic gig, right? So it's somewhere for new people to go and start and, you know, find their feet and find their way. And also what that gig provides is it provides a platform for, not a platform, because it's, I hate that word. Oh, I provided a platform. What it does is, because what they do is they've got guys coming along who are, you know, new, maybe 5-6 gigs, could be their first gig, that kind of thing. And what they also do in the Pavilion is they give people like me 15-20 minute longer slots to try new material, or to get ready for, like, say you've got a big show coming up, you go, right, you know what, I'll save the guys in the Pavilion, will take me in for 20 minutes just to, you know, just to run out before I do the big show. So it gives new guys a chance to sit and watch guys that have more experience than them and, you know, learn from them. Because, I mean, that was the first place I ever saw Paddy McGahey, one of the best comedians in Northern Ireland, as far as I'm concerned. And I remember watching him that night and thinking, I have to get that good I think it was one of the first places I seen Mickey Bartlett as well, and it was like, yep, I need to get that good. You know, so I'm not one for handing advice to new comedians, but all comedians, new ones, at a gig like that should stay to the end and watch the guy that's on at the end. Because the guy that's on at the end, he's not on at the end necessarily, a gig like that anyway, he's not on at the end necessarily because he's better than you or funnier than you. He's just more experienced than you. And the more comedy you watch, the more you learn. But it's a brilliant gig, it's a massive part of the whole Northern Irish comedy scene, and all of us guys that are around about playing big rooms now, myself included, owe that gig a lot, and many thanks to those who've kept it running over the years. But I went and did that, it was lovely, but it's a late one that, I don't think it was on stage, they about 10:45, I was off stage about 11:15, sat and had a pint with a mate of mine, so it was about 12 o'clock before I was on the road home. So yeah, my week off was for resting, recharging, recuperating. Come the Tuesday morning, after my week off, I was wrecked. Dog tired, wrecked. But it was alright, because I had 2 days off. I had Friday and Saturday off, and I've got today off Sunday, obviously. And I've got those days off to just chill out and do nothing. No. I had those 2 days off because I was gigging Friday and Saturday night. I was in Newton Abbey on Friday night. I was in Antrim on Saturday night. Two absolutely lovely audiences, two brilliant shows. Thanks for the laughs on them. Brilliant weekend of joke telling and whatnot. So the countdown to my show starts 4 weeks. So if you follow me on things, you'll start to see a ramp up of buying my Beacon tickets. Because I genuinely think to myself, if I can't sell 200 tickets in Belfast, in my town, if I can't sell out those two shows after having been doing this for 11, 12 years, it's time to just go, you know what? Just open for the big guys. Forget trying to make it in your own. But I've stayed at my mummy's on Friday night. And there was a bit of an incident. Now, my mummy doesn't like mess. My mummy likes, you know, if you move, I mean, it's the old sort of cliched thing. If you move an ornament, you know, a fraction of an inch in my house, my mother will realize straight away. But, I got home from the gig on Friday night and I went into my mummy's house, and it was brilliant because theatre at the Mill in Newton Abbey is like 5 minutes from my ma's house. So like, you know, I walk out the door and I'm home in 5 minutes. It's, if all gigs were that handy. So, like, even when I gig at home, it takes me longer to get home, to my house. So, I'm back to my mum's, and my daddy was like, oh, it's Guinness in the fridge for you. I was like, oh, brilliant, thank you. So I went and got a can of Guinness, and I walked over, and I opened the Guinness over the sink. I do that at home as well. I always open over the sink, because they do that surge thing, and sometimes they go, and it's, you know, you get a spillies, and it's like, ah, for fuck's sake. And if you've done it over the sink, it just means you know cleaning up. So I walked towards my mother's sink, because I didn't want to make a mess of her kitchen. And I dropped the can again. So I didn't drop it right. Since I've had the strokes, what happens to my hands sometimes is I don't drop things. They're just not in my hand anymore. I don't know, that sounds ridiculous, but they're in your hand. The next thing, they're just gone. You're like, oh, where's that gone? Because my hand just weakens for a split second enough for the thing to drop. Like, you would not believe, like, when I've got the, what do you call it? When I've got the mic in my hand at times, and when I watch the, I am clinging on to that thing like nothing you believe. So this can of Guinness just disappeared out of my hand. Now, it's happened in here before. It's happened in my house before, where I've got like a tile floor where I've dropped cans of Guinness and it just hits the dirt and it dents a wee bit and you go, right, we'll not open that one for a fortnight. This one, I dropped it and it hit the dirt, right? And whatever happened, it opened a fraction of it, right? Just a wee bit of it popped open and it shot back up in the air and spun and then hit the ground and started spinning round and round. Like, we now have a Guinness sprinkler. Right? So there's Guinness and it's going up the walls. It's on the ceiling. It's going everywhere. And I'm looking at this going, my mother is, I'm 42 years of age. I'm looking at this going, my mother is going to kill me. So what did I do? I leapt on it like it was a grenade. Like a Guinness grenade. I dived on it, like, you know, and just clutched it until it sort of fizzed out. So I'm now covered in Guinness. The floor's covered in Guinness. The ceiling, the walls, the worktops, the cupboards, the my mother and father still have a landline phone hung up in their kitchen wall. It's covered. They've got a list of our phone numbers, written on a page underneath the phone. It's been there, like, You know, and they've just added to it over the years. They're all landline numbers, then mobile numbers get added into it and all the rest. And it's been there since I lived in the house. Like, you know what I mean? It's now covered in Guinness and destroyed. It was an absolute, oh my God. But my mummy was up the stairs. I don't know what she was doing upstairs, but my mummy was up the stairs. And so I thought, right, I could probably get this cleaned up before she notices. And again, it was like, I felt like, what do you call that? Like, you know, a teenager who'd had a free house and something had gone wrong. I was like, I need to sort this out before my mummy gets home. What am I going to do? So just start grabbing fucking, you know, and this is, I don't know what it is, but this is kind of what men do when there's a spillage of that magnitude, right? Men just go, I know what to do. A roll of kitchen roll will sort this out, right? You know, quick. I've spilt copious amounts of liquid. Somebody grab me the bounty. You know, one sheet always made me laugh. I'm going to the bathroom. I will only be having one sheet. It's probably racist. So I grabbed reams of fucking kitchen roll, and I'm trying to soak up this. And do you know the mad thing as well? Like, see when you put a pint of something in a pint glass, it doesn't look like much. When you take that and basically throw it around the kitchen, it's fucking loads, right? It's like it's everywhere. So I'm just grabbing reams and reams of fucking kitchen roll and trying to mop this shit up, right? And then my sister comes in and she goes, what have you done? Right? I was like, mommy's gonna kill me. And she was like, yeah, she is. And so I've got all that, and I'm kitchen roll, and it's just, so I've got soggy ass kitchen roll everywhere, and I'm looking around and you're like, oh my God, I don't remember. So then my sister goes, right, don't worry, I will go and get the liquid vacuum. And I was like, the what now? This is the liquid vacuum. My mother has a vacuum, right, that's just for cleaning up liquid. You know, and for years recently, I've taken the piss out of my mummy. My mummy has had, like at one point in our house, I think my mummy had three different vacuum cleaners, right? And I don't know what vacuum cleaners did to my mummy, but she hates them, right? She fucking hates them. See the amount of times I heard the vacuum cleaner getting kicked down our stairs or... or fucking thrown across a room, and you'd be like, Jesus Christ, Maz Hoover, and fucking quick, get the Christ helmets on, you fucking hit by a stray fucking Henry here. And she'd be hoovering away at times, well, the fuck, this thing's not lifting any dirt. And you're like, man, it's near lifting the carpet. That thing is so fucking powerful. It's near fucking sucking this house into a new realm. You know, and then you'd be like, it's lost suction. You'd be like, I'm not surprised you've kicked the poor bastard and thing down the stairs 4 or 5 times this week alone. You know, so my man's, oh, I don't know, she's always had loads of hoovers in the house. And now she has one that's just for hoovering up liquid. So Sarah comes in and she's got the liquid hoover, and she's sort of hoovering up the floor and stuff. So now I'm like, right, so you're doing that. I'll start wiping down the cupboards. So I start wiping down the outside of the cupboards. And then I opened one of the cupboards. It had gotten on the inside of the cupboard doors. I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ almighty. It's in the cupboards, which means it's on the stuff that's in the cupboards. I'm like, Christ, fuck, clean all this down. And then my dad, he came out, he goes, what have you done? I was like, mommy's going to kill you. I went, I know. Right, so we're cleaning it. And so he went and got, where do you hear this? He went and got the second liquid hoover. Okay. So there's now two liquid hoovers and me sort of cleaning up with, with kitchen roll. Right. So this is all going on. And I'm going, right, mummy hasn't found out yet. But it was like, you'd go, right, are we finished? And then you'd be like, no, there's more over there. And oh, there's some over there. Oh, gee, how did it get up there? So, still in the middle of it all. And then my mummy walked into the kitchen. And I was like, oh, I am a dead man. And my mother just went, what happened? And I went, I dropped a can of Guinness and it exploded everywhere. There was like a Guinness sprinkler going on, but I was a brave man, and I threw myself on top of it, on top of the Guinness grenade, and kind of saved the day, but didn't. Because then what happened was, obviously, as I was rocking around cleaning, right, the Guinness was dripping off my clothes, and my jeans were covering it, and I was on my hands and knees sort of cleaning up and stuff. So every time I moved, I was leaving a wee bit of Guinness from my jeans on the floor in front of me and behind me and stuff. So it was just like, you know, this was a never ending cleaning job. And then my mummy stood staring at me, and I thought, she's going to hit me. She's going to hit me. Right? Because my ma has hit, my ma hit me when I was a child. Right? She did. Hit me with a plate once. Some of you will know about this, but she hit me with a plate once. If you think, like she did, she smashed the plate over my head. And if you think that's bad, my dinner was still on it at the time. Oh, part of my bar's come down. Ooh. Just sitting looking here. Part of the covering that I have on the bars come away altogether, so I need to go out and get that sorted after I do this. But then I was still on this plate at the time, looks like. So I thought my mum was going to hit me, but she didn't. She just started laughing, like she was in stitches, and I could see my sister sort of looking at her as if to say, why have you not hit him? You're meant to be hitting him right now. Look what he did. Look what he did. Hit him, shout at him. And I just went, there you go. And I knew if any of the rest of you had done that, she'd be baiting the head of you, but I'm the favourite child, so. I'm the only one that didn't go to university, but I'm still the favourite. I had to laugh. They're all going on about their degrees and their university in our house there a while back. And Patrick turns around to me, and he just goes, he says, yeah, Daddy. He says, you know, they all have degrees, and they all went to university and all the rest. He says, He says, you've still got the biggest house. It's a very good point, my friend. Very good point. So Steb and Mummy's on Friday night. Then done the Antrim gig and hit the road home. Early start in Antrim. Nice wee half seven start. Now you're off stage by eight. Away by half eight-ish. Home for half nine. Well, we'll say 10 o'clock just in case there's any traffic cops listening. I did not go over the speed limit once on the way home. I didn't. And then up this morning, I had a late one last night, just sat watching crap TV and drinking wine, which I put, what do you hear? I put wine, right? I got red wine, bottle of red wine, 19 crimes, it's rather nice. I got a bottle of that and I put it in a decanter. I was sitting drinking wine out of a decanter last night. Thinking to myself, anything olives and cheese, stuffed olives and cheese, and wondering to myself, what the fuck has happened to you? We North Belfast man of the people drinking fucking wine out of a decanter, anything stuffed olives and cheese. You know what? I don't know what it is, but Instagram, I don't really do social media stuff much, as you all know, but I don't know why, but Instagram keeps showing me these videos where people are like voicing over their pets, mainly cats. And I don't know why, but it's some of the funniest stuff I have ever seen. It's just cats doing normal things, but people have voiced over the top and the cats are like, you got the wrong cat. No, I'm not. Something goes, did you bite her? Yeah, I did. It's like, if you're describing it, you're probably sitting listening going, what's he on about? How could that possibly be in any way funny? But I'm telling you, it's hilarious. It is funny as fuck. just voiced over cats and dogs. But it's me and the cats. The cats are funnier than the dogs. It's brilliant. And like, I have a video of a chicken attacking Patricia. And Patricia hitting it with a car door. And I'm thinking, I have to voice over that. I'm going to have to put a voiceover on that just to see if people find it funny, because I'm telling you, these voiceover cats are hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. So up this morning, wrecked, but Celtic were playing at 12 o'clock and I got up, me and the boy watched that. And Celtic got a penalty just before half time, and I'm telling you, at the time, they were like, oh, they're doing a VAR check. And I was like, what for? Nothing happened there. And then we got a penalty for handball, and you're looking at it going, you know, it's one of them ones. It's a penalty because them's the rules now. But Christ almighty, it was like, nobody claimed for it. Nobody seen it. Well, Cameron Carter-Vickers seen it and sort of claimed for it, but no other player, you know. And we get given the penalty. And, you know, you're sort of looking at it going, if that was gave up the other end, you'd be like, are you serious? But that's the handball, and that's VAR in Scotland. And here we've had some pretty like, funny enough, actually, against Ross County, we had one where our player had his hand by his side, and the ball was hit him on the arm, and it was given against them, penalty. So I suppose maybe these things do even themselves out. They don't, but you know. So we got this penalty, it was 1-0, and then I'm telling you, like, I thought, oh, this is the day we drop points, because we were missing sitters, hitting the bar, hitting the post. But then 94th minute, we Argentinian left back steps up, bang, top corner, 2-0. Thank you very much. So that's Celtic still 9 points clear. We only have to win 5 more matches and that's it. League's won. And it'll party time. And I think we can win the league on the day that Charles is what do you call it? Charles is having his coronation, which would be good. Having a party while, you know, that would really, really upset a lot of Rangers fans. Be like, oh, look at them partying while the solemn event of the king being crowned is going on. Yeah, it'd be a double whammy for them. Oh, and that's another thing. Apparently Geoffrey Donaldson hasn't been invited to the king's coronation because he's dicking about with Stormont. But Michelle O'Neill and Alex Maskey, of all people, Alex fucking Maskey, King Charles, Alex Maskey, the wee fucking provo, got a phone call from the king. Do you want to come to my party? Fucking right. But him and Michelle O'Neill have been invited, and I'm telling you, it would be the most beautiful thing. The most beautiful thing if Michelle O'Neill invited Geoffrey as her plus one. Oh, I'd love to see it. So just walking and go, hello Geoffrey, I've got an invite. Here's an invite. It's an invite to go to the thing with the queen, with the king. Do you want to go? Geoffrey just sitting there going, yes, I want to go, but I can't go with you. Okay, meanwhile, Alex Maskey, he's knocking on Jim Allister's door. Here, Jim. Jimbo. Do you want to be my plus one for the coronation? Oh, Jimbo's head will explode. Oh, dear. But listen, that's enough of my waffling this week. Thanks for listening. Follow me on Twitter and follow me on Facebook and Instagram, and I'm on TikTok because I'm a loser. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Your dad's on TikTok is the new Your Dad Sells Evil. So I'm on that. Follow me on all those things. Subscribe to this. Leave me a review. Review this. Go on, wherever you get your podcast, review the bloody thing. Give it, no, 5 stars is really good. You'd be lying, but do it anyway. And thanks for listening. I'll chat to you again next week. See yous later. Oh, that sounded so fucking assholey, didn't it? See you later. What a dick. What an absolute dick. That's that. I'll chat to you again. Good luck. Oh, that sounded dicky too. Gluck, gluck. Such a fucking Tyrone thing. Gluck. That's me finished talking now. I'm going to go and fix that thing on the bar, actually.